In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our
the Good Samaritan. We have all heard this parable of the Good Samaritan so often that it has even become a part of our own culture. Even in today's biblically illiterate society, most people know even the basics of this story, non-believers included. Some states have even passed what they call Good Samaritan laws, which exempts a person from liability should a person be injured when you are seeking to offer them aid at a time of need. The parable of the Good Samaritan is for most people simply a story about putting into practice what we call the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that is certainly the first level of truth that our Lord Jesus Christ was affirming to the lawyer in today's gospel who asked him the questions. If you claim to love God, then you too must love your neighbor. And by your neighbor, we must include even the outcast, the poor, and the needy, and as shown by this parable today, even our own enemies, because we all know that Samaritans and Jews generally despise one another. This gospel always brings a smile to my face because, essentially, I think I preached my first sermon on this gospel as a 14-year-old Roman Catholic boy one summer. And I didn't say a single word when I preached this sermon. You might find that interesting. I was part of a youth group at my church, and one Sunday, the deacon, who had been sent down from seminary to run that youth program during the summer, he decided he did not want to give the sermon. But instead, he would have our youth group do a little dramatic pantomime of that sermon, of the gospel of the Good Samaritan, which it was that weekend. The gospel was read by one of the little children, and that's something that we did during those halcyon days of post-Vatican II, and we kind of made things up as it was going along. But as the gospel was being read by the little children, a young boy came from the other side of the church, very slowly walking across the church in front of the altar rail, and his name was Timmy Fowler. Timmy got to the middle of the church there, and from the other side of the church come three other teenage boys, two of whom were my brothers, and they proceeded to come to poor Timmy, and with great zeal and gusto, they beat the living daylights out of him and left him there, crumbled on the floor, right in the middle of the church. And there he was laying there, and from this side of the church comes my friend, Cedric Robinson. Cedric comes across very slowly as the priest. And he comes across and he sees Timmy and he looks at him in disgust and he steps over him and he walks away with his hands folded in pious prayer and his nose up in the air like all priests of course do. He goes the other way. Then from this side of the church comes my other friend, Alan Davis. And Alan comes across as the Levite. And in the back you hear the other children going, "Here comes the judge, here comes the judge." And Alan's snapping his fingers as he comes across. And Alan looks at him in utter horror and utter disgust, and he walks away to the other side. There, Timmy's still laying there on the floor. And finally, from this side of the church, comes our hero, the Good Samaritan, played, of course, by yours truly. Now, I was a 14-year-old boy at the time. I was about to go away to high school seminary. And every person in that church would have put down money on a bet that 15 years later I would come back to that church as a Roman Catholic priest. Well, they were a little bit wrong, but they had it almost right. So who else would they choose to play the good Samaritans? So I come across and I see poor Timmy there laying on the floor. I look at him in horror and amazement. And something you have to remember is a couple of days before this took place, young Timmy, who was about 10 years old, had been in a skateboarding accident. And he broke his arm, he broke his leg, he had stitches in his head, he had road rash all over his face and his arms, and bruises all over him, and we just thought that was wonderful for our play, because he really looked like somebody who had run into thieves and had been beaten up. So I come to Timmy, I see him there on the floor, I'm moved with compassion, I bow down before him, I bind up his wounds like that, I pour in oil and wine. I remember doing that, pouring in oil and wine. I just happened to have a bottle of wine with me. I chuck that on it, and then I pick him up, and I carry him off down the middle of the church to the innkeeper, who is all the way in the back where Christopher is there. And as I carry him off, the choir is singing, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. And that I consider to be the first sermon that I ever preached, because I remembered the words of Francis of Assisi, who used to say to his followers, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Now Jesus happened to use words in his parable today, and he ended his parable with the words, go and do thou likewise. You be a neighbor to those who are in need. That is the first level of interpretation of this parable today. My own saint, St. Ignatius of Antioch, says, no one who makes a profession of faith and who is possessed with love ought to ever hate his brother. For the same Lord who said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, also said to love your neighbor as yourself. Those who profess themselves to be Christ are known not only by what they say, but by what they practice. For a tree is known by his fruit. I am always moved by a quote that I have heard from St. John Chrysostom, who says that if you do not find Christ in the beggar at the door, you will not find Christ in the chalice on the altar. So certainly, the first meaning of this parable today for us is to put ourselves in the place of the Good Samaritan, and as the fathers call him, the Merciful Samaritan. But as I was reading commentaries and other sermons preparing for this sermon, I saw that it was pointed out by the church fathers, many of the church fathers, and in a lot of the hymns of the church, that the Orthodox Church tends to call us to identify ourselves not only with the Good Samaritan, the Merciful Samaritan, but they more often than not tell us to identify ourselves with the man who fell among the thieves, the wounded man, the young Timmy Falgut there on the floor. To see ourselves as that wounded man in the parable, to see ourselves as wounded by sin and the devil and being rescued by Christ, the Merciful Samaritan. He comes to us at a time when we are wounded and half dead, and he saves us. This parable, many of the fathers tell us, is simply a retelling of the history of salvation, about how mankind fell from paradise into sin and death and being redeemed by the coming of Christ and the establishment of his church. For the man in the parable goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho, representing paradise, Jerusalem, paradise, and Jericho, back to the world. I spoke to a woman who was from Palestine one time, and she told me that Jericho was about 25 or 30 miles from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is set up high on the crest of a mountain, on the crest of a hill, and to get to Jericho, you literally had to go downhill. Now, nobody at the Lord's time, she said, who was listening to this parable would fail to miss the symbolic nature of Jerusalem being paradise and Jericho being back to the world once again. So the man went from the paradise of Jerusalem back down to the world of represented by Jericho, and he was set upon by thieves. He literally went down. He fell from paradise, from the Garden of Eden, and he fell and found himself forced outside of the Garden of Eden. St. Augustine tells us that by falling into sin through disobedience, the race of man was stripped of his ornaments of virtue, and his gift of free will was wounded, and like the man in the parable, he found himself left naked and half dead, unable to help himself. And then comes Christ, the Merciful Samaritan, who does what the law and the priest were unable to do and could never do. He takes their sins upon himself, and he takes them to the inn, which St. John Chrysostom tells us is representative of the church. And the church there, the innkeeper, receives the wounded travelers, and he relieves them of their sins and refreshes them with wholesome food. The wine which the Samaritan poured down upon the wounds is the blood of his passion, and the oil is the chrism of sanctification. This is all St. John Chrysostom saying this. And by giving the innkeepers 2 coins, he says, to take further care of him, Christ is giving to the church, the inn, and the innkeepers, the other sacraments of grace. Unction for when he is ill. The Eucharist for when he is hungry. Repentance and confession for when he should fall again amongst the thieves of souls. And that is the deeper meaning of this parable, which the church hymns call us to reflect upon today. To see ourselves as the wounded one in need of being both rescued and healed. The great canon of St. Andrew of Crete, which we read during Lent, St. Andrew says, I confess to thee, O Savior, the sins which I have committed, and the wounds of my body and soul, which the murderous thoughts, like robbers, have inflicted upon me. And again he says also in that canon, I am the one who by my own thoughts fell among robbers, and I am now wounded by them and full of sores. The priest saw me, and he passed by on the other side. The Levi saw my sufferings, and he disdained my nakedness. But Christ, the Samaritan, stood by me and had compassion upon me. My brothers and sisters, by realizing that we are indeed fallen among the thieves of souls, and we are truly unable to save ourselves by ourselves from our own sins, then we are able to reach out to the merciful Christ and to be brought into wholeness once again. Again, St. Andrew says in the canon, Heal, O Savior, the corruption of my debased soul. O only physician, apply to me the compresses of oil and wine, works of repentance, compunction, and tears. And this brings us to a full, complete understanding of what this parable is all about, both on a practical level and on a spiritual level. When we are able to realize that we are really the ones who have gone down from the paradise of Jerusalem into the worldliness of sin represented by Jericho, that we have fallen amongst the thief of souls who stripped us of the garments of virtue which the first man had been created with and received from God, and we are left naked of virtue and bereft and half dead and having lost eternal life. But we have been rescued by the merciful Christ, who, like a beast, has taken our sins, our burden upon his shoulders, and delivered them and us, unworthy though we be, to the end of the church, the ark of the church, the end of rest, the end of healing. Then, once we are refreshed by the sacraments of the church, we too can go out and become an alter Christus, another Christ to our neighbor. I remember hearing a priest once quote a rabbi whom he knew, who said that the actual correct translations of the words that Jesus spoke from Deuteronomy to the lawyer today is not love your neighbor as yourself, but it is rather love your neighbor because he is yourself. Love your neighbor because he is yourself. And if that was true for Old Testament times, it is especially true for those of us in the New Testament who follow Christ and are called by his name. For St. Paul writes to the Romans that we, though many throughout the world, we are one body in Christ, and we are all members one of another. Our brethren, our brothers, especially the wounded on the road of life, the beggar at the door, he is my neighbor because he is myself. We are one body in Christ's church. How can I not be a neighbor to the one in need? How can I not love him? Why? Because he is myself. Who was the one who was the neighbor, Christ asked to the lawyer today. Who was the neighbor to the man in need? And the lawyer answered him, him who showed mercy to the man. Go and do thou likewise, the Lord tells us. He tells us this today. Go and do thou likewise. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Forever.